All right, the title of our next presentation is The Effect of Bacterial Blight, Inoculation Timing on Cotton Yield, and Bradley Wilson will be our next presenter.
So, thank you for that introduction. Once again, my name is Bradley Wilson. I'm a graduate student at Mississippi State University, working under Dr. Darren Dodds. This presentation is going to be on the effect of bacterial blight inoculation timing on cotton yield. So just an introduction to cotton in Mississippi. It is a major crop in Mississippi. In Mississippi in 2006, we had over 275,000 hectares, which dropped towards 2015 to about 129,000 hectares. So reasons for decline in these hectares, price of cotton dropped over the past several years. We've had insect and weed pressure, like tarnished plant bugs. We've rotated with other crops. And then prices of alternative crops have been higher, like corn and soybeans. So bacterial blight in Mississippi was a major disease prior to 1970, and the only reason for that is we did not have acid delinting then. So this bacterium likes to hold on to the outside of the lint on the seed, and then that's where acid delinting comes in and helps get rid of this bacterial blight. So there was an outbreak in Mississippi in 2011 and 2012. 2011, we had 11 to 12 counties with bacterial blight, and that jumped to 25 counties in 2012. There has been an up to 25% yield loss reported from this disease, and you can see in the counties right here in Mississippi, that was from 2011, and that is where we did have bacterial blight. So bacterial blight of cotton is caused by Xanthomonas citri, and the pathobar is Malva acerium. And I'm sorry, I just butchered that, but it is a seed-borne bacterium, and it will survive in infected crop residue. So favorite conditions for bacterial blight: high temperatures, 86 to 97 degrees Fahrenheit, and high humidity above 85%. So spread of this disease, it only takes one plant for this field to become infected. So this can spread pretty rapidly. If you're moving equipment through the field when it's wet, you can see you can definitely have a spread of bacterial blight. And then also with wind and blowing rain, moving droplets across the plants. So symptoms of bacterial blight: you've heard of leaf spot, or this disease, you've heard of it called angular leaf spot. It produces small angular spots on the leaf that appear water soaked. And I'm going to have some pictures here in a second to show you. But you get vein necrosis as well, a dark lightning bolt appearance down the vein, and then black arm. And that's just darkening of the leaf petiole and stem, but it will cause premature defoliation of those leaves. And then you have bowl rot. So water-soaked spots on the bowl, and that can lead to secondary pathogens moving in. And that can be aggressive fungal pathogens where you get a lot of yield loss. So here's some pictures. The top left corner here, you see the water-soaked lesions, and it almost looks like oil spots. To the right of it, you see the necrosis, and that just showing you that dark lightning bolt appearance running down the veins. And then on the left, there's a darkening of the stem and the petiole. And like I said, you can get premature defoliation from that. And then that water-soaked spot on the bowl right there, and that's where you're going to have other aggressive pathogens moving in. And then, like I said, once that bacterial blight enters the bowl, it will hold on to the lint on the outside of the seed, so that is the reason we acid delint. So management of bacterial blight: tillage. You're going to want to destroy the crop residue instead of minimum tillage practices. And then if you want to rotate your crops, you can rotate with corn, grain sorghum, peanuts, and soybeans. All are non-hosts to bacterial blight. And then you can plant a resistant cotton variety if you don't want to rotate or change your tillage practices. So the objective of this research was to determine the effects of multiple inoculation timings on bacterial blight in cotton. So the two locations we had was Starkville, Mississippi at the RR Full Plant Science Research Center. Location was Brooksville, Mississippi at the Black Belt Branch Experiment Station. This test was a factorial arrangement of treatments in a randomized complete block. 4-row plots at 12.7 meters in length and 4 replications of those plots. So Starkville was planted on April 28th, 2016 on non-irrigated ground, and Brooksville was planted May 11th on 2016 on non-irrigated ground. The two varieties we used were Delta Pine 1518, which is the resistant variety, and Delta Pine 1522, which would be the susceptible variety. So inoculation of blight, we use a Bowman multipurpose sprayer, also known as a Mud Master. We use a Leckler drop leg, and you see that picture on the right here. And the reason we did that is we wanted to make it look as real as possible. What is a farmer going to see or a grower going to see when he goes in the field and looks for that bacterial blight or sees it? It's going to start at the bottom of the plant and move up. So we used turbo twin jet flat fan tips, and that was the reason we could get coverage toward the midsection of the plant and the bottom of the plant as we went down the row. It was applied at 280 liters per hectare and at 483 kilopascals. We ran approximately 3.2 kilometers per hour. Now we used 2 liters of inoculum, 1 liter at each location, and the OD420 read at 0.6. And what that tells us is that there was approximately 280 million bacterial cells in each liter. So these locations were inoculated at dusk towards night, and the reason that is we wanted to apply at cooler temperatures for the bacterium to survive. Also, in the sunlight, this inoculant, sunlight would kill the inoculant as well. So timing of our inoculations, we had a check, which was no inoculation. Our first inoculation was at Pinhead Square. First bloom plus 2 weeks, bloom plus 4 weeks, and bloom plus 6 weeks. And here is us spraying at Pinhead Square. You see the drop legs that drop down below the plant, and they're pointing upwards. And to the right, there we are again with on the same field, just a different direction. So here we are spraying at bloom plus 4 weeks, and you see the cotton's pretty tall, so we did have to raise the drop legs up a little bit. And then to the right, you see this is a plot that we had sprayed that had a good amount of bacterial blight symptoms on it. So the data we collected, we took stand counts at 21 days. We took height at bloom and height at harvest. Also total nodes, node above white flower, node above crack ball. The data analysis we used was ANOVA using PROC Glimix and at SAS 9.4, and it was a pairwise of t-test to separate the means at 0.05. So before we get into results, I just want to set these up. So this is our rating scale. We used, we went from 0 to 100 with our rating scale. To the left here, you see just a little bit of coverage of blight, and that's kind of what we saw within the whole plot. So we rated it at 5 to 10%. And then to the right, we have a little bit more coverage, and that's where we rated it 20 to 30%. So here's our bacterial blight ratings by inoculation timings. You can see the orange is the Delta Pine 1522, which is the susceptible variety, and the red is the 1518. And the red kind of stays consistent all the way across. But if you look at the 1522, we saw much higher ratings at earlier timing. So Pinhead Square, and then it consistently dropped after that. So this is our inoculation timings with yield, our check, and you can see here that the Pinhead and the bloom plus 6 weeks all were significantly lower than the check. And that's kind of what we thought we would see earlier with the plant not being able to take as much stress. And then bloom plus 2 weeks and bloom plus 4 weeks all stayed relatively the same, so we saw no difference. So here's height at bloom for these two varieties. Delta Pine 1522 was significantly higher than Delta Pine 1518. Also, height at harvest, Delta Pine 1522 continued that trend, being significantly higher than Delta Pine 1518. And here's our lint yield. Now this is, you may look at this and say, how in the world did the susceptible variety out yield the resistant variety? And we're going to take a look at that And just the next slide.
So,
Deltapine 1522 is adapted to either non-irrigated land or irrigated land, so it can grow in both conditions. However, Deltapine 1518 is different. It is adapted to growing in irrigated conditions, and you can see that here in our 2016 Mississippi on-farm variety trials. We saw that Deltapine 1518 was at 1,712 kilograms per hectare, whereas when it's in dry land conditions, it's all the way at the bottom, and it's at 1,190 kilograms per hectare. So we saw a significant drop between those two. So here's our weather data for Brooksville. Because bacterial blight has to have those favorable conditions of high temperatures and high humidity and high amounts of rainfall, the gray here at the top is the maximum temperatures, and the yellow is the minimum temperatures. The blue is our rainfall. So here is in between where we inoculated, and you can see right before we inoculated at Pinhead Square, we got a good rain right before that, and it provided some favorable conditions for us to inoculate. And then I also want to point out that the yellow line, we tried to inoculate when it was between 60 and 70 degrees with cooler temperatures. So here's some weather data for Starkville. The gray, once again, is the maximum temperatures, and the yellow is the minimum temperatures. And then the blue is rainfall. So once again, there are the red lines in between the dates we inoculated. Once again, right there at Pinhead Square, when we inoculated, we saw a little bit of rain and then a little bit of rain afterwards. So the rain plays a big part in this, because you got to have a rain-free period of 24 to 48 hours for this to get into the plant and infect. So we were hoping every time we sprayed, we didn't have a thunderstorm come through and wash us away. But you can see it started getting drier towards the end of the season. And then right there again, we wanted to inoculate at right at 60 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit. So the conclusion for this, early infection timing ratings in Deltapine 1522 were significantly higher than late season inoculation timings. And Dodds et al. Observed in the 2016 Mississippi on-farm variety trials that Deltapine 1518 consistently yielded higher under irrigated conditions. And I'd just like to tell you that when weather conditions provide warm temperatures, high humidity, and high amounts of rainfall, it will provide a favorable environment for bacterial blight. So for future research, we want to continue to determine the effect of inoculation timing of bacterial blight on cotton yield. And then we'd like to evaluate some alternative resistant cotton varieties that are adapted to dry land conditions to kind of even out the yield. So I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated for their support. I'd also like to thank Dr. Darren Dodds, Dr. Shin Liu, Dr. Tom Allen, Ms. Sonia Baird, the graduate students, student workers, and the North Farm crew for all their help this year. At this time, I'd like to take any questions.
Time for a couple questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you see any spread of the inoculum off target? So when you would spray early, did some of the plots that were supposed to get sprayed later get some infection?
So what? And her question was there any off target bacterial blight in other plots for the treatments? No. What we did was when we moved through the field and sprayed, we would raise the boom at every time and let the droplets fall. So we were in for a couple of, maybe 30 seconds or so before we went into another plot. So that way we didn't spread it.
And it didn't spread on
its own? No, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Any difference in the types of symptoms you saw with different inoculation timings, foliar versus old frost?
And his question was, any different types of symptoms that we see early or later, like boll rot or any other foliar symptoms. But not much. We did not see much boll rot in there. Most of the symptoms that I saw, and this didn't vary from late season or early season, but most of it was that the angular leaf spot that you could see on the underside of the leaf. That was mostly what we saw this year.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you very much.